Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. Last weekend, and I'm sure you will have remembered, we were talking with Will Hales from Redbourne Cricket Club. Redbourne were representing Hertfordshire in the National Village Cup final. They were taking on Colwell from Herefordshire. It was an epic, a game fit for the occasion at Lords, the home of cricket. Tell us all about it. We're delighted to welcome back again Will Hales. Will, good evening. How are you?
Hi, Tony. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. A little bit up and down emotions the last couple of days, it has to be said. But no, I'm good, thanks. Just about recovered.
Well, goodness me, we'll unpack it. And it did sound like an absolute epic game. Really could have gone either way. And we'll learn all about that. But just first of all, Will, you know, again, we understand for understandable reasons, there couldn't have been the fervent fans cheering you on. But my goodness me, you were there at the home of cricket, Lords, in a national final. Tell me about your experience of Lords. Did you sense the history?
Yeah, it was an unbelievable day, and kind of thanks to the MCC and the Village Cup, the cricketer who organised the competition. It was one of those kind of days you dream about as a cricketer. Yeah, straight away we kind of, when we drove, we got a coach down, and kind of we were expecting sort of have to park up on the side of the road and quickly kind of run our stuff out of the coach. But when we arrived, kind of the stewards opened up the gates and we drove in the coach and kind of. So it was, you know, normally you're queuing for a good, you know, however long to get into Lords, but we were sort of driven straight in. And so straight from the off, it was awesome. And then we were in the England dressing room. So kind of walking up there and just soaking up that for the first half an hour of the day was awesome.
VIP treatment, and as it should be, Presenting Hertfordshire as you were in the National Village Cup final. We've got to talk about the game, though. Of course we do. Firstly, commiserations, because as gallant as the effort was, and again, we'll dissect it, as epic as your run to the final was, Road Warriors, as we learnt last time, sadly, it was a final hurdle almost too far. But again, before we analyse it, I just want to say massive respect. Let's put it in context. 300-odd teams were in contention when it all got underway. And to make the national final is absolutely outstanding. So credit to you and all involved there, Will. Just as you say, your emotions are a bit up and down. You've had a few days for the dust to settle. Just briefly, and we'll unpack it, just give me your overview of what was an epic occasion.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the cricket, it was, I guess, pretty frustrating. We probably felt there are just a couple of kind of key moments that we probably lost on the day that meant we didn't quite get over the line. But it was an amazing day. I think the kind of, you could feel the support the whole way through. I know there was no one there, but kind of news would filter through back from the pavilion. Kind of ITV News were down there. So a couple of the parents were kind of interviewed on national telly. And I think it's something like 17, 18,000 people overall ended up watching the live stream. So, you know, it was an awesome day and you could really feel the support. And it was amazing to play at Lords. You'd be in a game of cricket and then suddenly you'd be kind of back from walking in and you're looking up at the pavilion or you're looking up the media centre. It was an amazing day, but obviously slightly tinged with that frustration. I think that's the competitor in me, but it was brilliant and one of those days you remember.
Absolutely. For the memory banks for all time. And as I say, representing Hertfordshire in the National Village Cup final, tremendous efforts. Again, it really could have gone either way, literally right down to the proverbial while the final over still had a chance. But just how important was the toss here? Because Colwell batted first. We'll talk about the efforts of Benjamin Hunt, who smashed 72 from only 33 balls, really giving them the edge. Their target of 229 for you, or 230 to win, that was actually historical. It was the seventh highest score in National Village Cup final history. So a big, big total. Went right down to the wire. Talk to me about the toss, though, and how crucial that was.
Yeah, we would have batted first. we would back ourselves to defend kind of any score. I think we've shown that kind of through the competition that we're pretty good at defending, you know, even a low score.
Mm-hmm.
The keeper, Ben, his innings was unbelievable. He hit such a clean ball. His first six, I think, was off Dan Rowe, mm-hmm. Which went into the top tier of the grandstand, which after the initial, obviously, slight frustration that he'd been whacked for six, was one of the funniest moments I've experienced on the cricket team. Because we will have that now for the next 25, however long years, to remind Dan about how he got hit into the top tier of the grandstand. But no, that was a genius innings, and probably, I think, in the end, was the decisive moment in the game. At halfway, we still felt like it was slightly under par, just because the wicket seemed so flat, and we'd have backed ourselves to chase it down. But yeah, the toss, I think we would have batted first, but I don't think that was ultimately the difference.
Yeah, again, you do have to sometimes just give credit where it's due. Tremendous innings there from Benjamin Wheeler. As I say, 72, just 33 balls, really took the game away, and it just proved that little bit too much. Great efforts, though, from your bowlers, though, in all fairness. We mentioned, didn't we, the triumvirate of spinners, and Conor Yarrow, who was actually, I think, the leading wicket taker in the tournament overall, grabbed a brace. I think another a threefer for Darwell, 3 for 31 for him. So although that we mentioned their Wheeler's efforts and they kind of kept the partnerships building, the emblem of any good team, your bowlers certainly didn't lay down and die, did they? They just gave you a fighting chance in the reply.
Yeah, no, Conor was brilliant again, and so was Darwell. Conor was a little bit nervous at first, I think, his first couple of overs, but Dan really hit the ground running, got a wicket, and I think his first over might have been his second. Started really well. And then Conor at the death was brilliant. I think it's the second to last over, only went for one or something ridiculous. Really put the pressure on. They've been brilliant all year, and they were the same again on Saturday.
Well, I've got to ask you, I mean, you were coming in here as the, I think, the third highest run scorer in the tournament, averaging plus 55. And I know you set yourself massively high standards. We'll talk about your brother's phenomenal effort too. Personally, were you a little bit disappointed to hole out after 11 in the response?
Yeah, I think that is going to be the thing. I said to someone at work today, actually, that it's going to be like a cheese grater going inside the back of my head for however long. I think until if we get there next year, I think it'll be going. But that it was so frustrating. I think on the live stream, someone said to me that they said it was possibly the worst ball that was bowled all day, which I think was probably a fair comment. It was just one of those, my eyes lit up.
Yeah.
It was a short, terrible ball, and just, you know, plinked it. It was pretty frustrating.
Will, you had performed admirably, as I say, averaging over 55 to help Redbourne in this epic run to this wonderful national final. And even at the highest level, sometimes it is these strange, not necessarily cleanest balls that do take the wickets. That being said, though, I've got to tell you, credit to your brother, Ed, really kept you in it. I think he got a century. 119, I believe, from 83 balls. That was actually the third highest individual score in the Village National Final all time. So a little slither of history there from Ed. He must be very proud of him. And that effort really, really did put to you, despite this very strong or very high run chase, right in contention, didn't it?
Yeah, no, it was definitely the best I've seen him bat. It was a brilliant innings, really quite a proud moment to stand there, kind of on the balconies. He got the 100. He played some. We hit the first ball for six, which kind of set the tone. And I'm definitely much more. I was much more nervous when I was out there about what he was going to do than what I was going to do, because he tends to, the way he bats, he obviously goes pretty hard at it. So I was just praying that he wasn't going to do something silly, but he batted geniusly. Some of the reverse sweeps that he hit were just ridiculously clean. And under that sort of pressure as well, to play the way he did was awesome. And he put us probably in what was should have been a winning position, or certainly put us in a place where we could win the game. But it was a brilliant knock. really, really proud of him.
Absolutely. Again, just to give it its historical context, just to be factually accurate, the sixth man actually does get a ton in the Village Cup final, but nevertheless a tremendous effort. As you say, there was a point inspired by Ed and partnerships kind of building around him, where I think the run chase was 70 from 86. So again, you were, as they say, ahead of the curve. Was it a little frustrating that in many ways you were strangled to defeat with economical bowling as opposed to anything other than that?
Yeah, it was a bit frustrating, but I think it was a great learning experience for the team. As a team, we haven't often been challenged to chase down a score. I looked this season, our biggest run chase was 205 we've had to chase down, and we did that pretty comfortably. So we haven't actually been we haven't had that experience as a young team to kind of chase down that score. And that probably was what proved the difference, just in terms of, the difference between chasing 230, 240 compared to chasing 200, 180 is a much different chase. So I think that probably proved the difference. They bowled very well in those middle overs, really didn't give many freebies. And it's always much, much more tricky when you're chasing a score than when you're defending a score, I think, in that situation.
No question about it. But I mean, even all that being said, how did you feel into that last over where you just needed 11? I mean, it sounds a lot, but in this modern world where we're all inspired by T20, where, you know, there's a big hitters there, it's not unattainable. So you kind of really did, even to the death, give yourself a chance of claiming the W here. What were the nerves like and the kind of emotions into that final over, just needing 11 to claim victory?
Yeah, I mean, I think the nerves had been building for the previous hour before that. It was pretty tense up on the balcony, and you can't really get away from it there. But it was probably the second to last over that was the kind of the nervous one. I think we only got four or five off that one, and that was probably a little frustrating. But we still definitely were backing ourselves on that last over. I think we felt like if we could get a boundary in that, if you get a boundary first or second ball, then suddenly it's down to kind of, you know, six or seven off the last four, which is, you know, suddenly a hell of a lot more pressure on the bowlers, and that can do funny things. We didn't quite get that, but it was a hell of an effort from the boys. Hugh Craig, he's only 18, he did a serious effort under that kind of pressure to be not out at the end. So he'll learn so much from that experience and hopefully guide us home in the future. But it was an awesome effort from the guys, and it was a tough watch. Just the nerves of it, but they'll learn a lot from that experience, I think.
Absolutely. And again, in the national final, right to the wire, so much credit to everybody there involved. We talk about the old cliches in cricket, and there's a reason they're cliches, because there's wisdom to them. Catches win matches, they say. And as we say, this in a game of such narrow margins, Yorif, I think, dismissed to a rather impressive catch. Difficult, I think, to say that individual moment is the difference in a game that was so narrow. But as I say, there is that old truism, isn't there, about catches winning matches. And from what I could hear and understand, that was a heck of an effort from the Fields team there in the Colwell point of view.
Yeah, no, that was a hell of a catch. When Connor hit it, a top edge pull, and it just went miles in the air, and the guy was backtracking from square leg and kind of snaffled it over his shoulder, not that far from the boundary. So that was a hell of an effort. And the way Connor bats, he's pretty positive as well. So that kind of moment could have taken the game away from them. It was a hell of a catch and a big moment for them.
A hell of a match. And obviously, you know, representing Hertfordshire, we're all supremely proud of everybody there at Redbourne. I want to give you massive respect once again. Just to kind of culminate what a season it's been. Obviously, there, you know, at Lords would have been phenomenal if fans could have been in attendance. But so much heroism along the run, going on the road, having to play so many matches, seven matches, I think it was, before last weekend's final. We are obviously delighted that there was cricket this summer. We're obviously delighted that you were able to represent so manfully and so gallantly Hertfordshire. But just give us your overall summation not just of the epic match, but of course the season itself in context.
Yeah, no, I think it was kind of the game itself was a brilliant culmination of the season. It was obviously a frustrating result, but the way people enjoyed it, kind of from the community, you could really feel it. There was kind of obviously with all the COVID stuff at the moment, it had to kind of was all in separate places and not everyone was there together. But then when we got back to the club, there were lots of people there in their little kind of groups of six, and we got a round of applause. And so that's been probably what I've taken from most about this season is the way that people have just enjoyed spending time with each other. And it's not definitely not just a kind of a first team. It's such a club atmosphere at Red Bull. And so it's been brilliant to have kind of the level of support for the first team on the Sundays. But then it's been great to see so many kind of good performances from young guys. And some older stages as well on Saturdays for all four teams. So it was, it's been an awesome season. It's going to certainly leave a hole in, I think, a lot of our lives for the next few months with no competitive action on Saturdays. But it's been just so much fun to play this year. And I think as a young team, we've learned a lot, and we see ourselves as just at the beginning of kind of what could be a really a big kind of journey for us as a team. So hopefully over the next 5-6 years we can replicate the kind of success we've had, move up the leagues. We certainly got ambitions to do that. We feel like we can compete probably a couple of levels higher than where we are at the moment, and have done against kind of sides of that sort of level across the country in this competition, which has been great to see. And so yeah, it's just been a great springboard for hopefully what is a really successful next few years.
Perfect. And as I say, it's not just a moment, but it's a moment to build upon. That's fantastic. Will, could you remind us again of the Redbourn website so that people can engage with you during this off-season, learn a little bit more, and then maybe become a crucial part of this developmental process and perhaps could well be enjoying another Lord's excursion maybe this time next year. So basically, can you remind the website and social media engagements, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So type in Redbourn CC on Google or Redbourn Pitch Hero. We're on Instagram and Twitter, Redbourn CC. I actually got a bit of stick last week because you mentioned that if you're an aspiring batsman, that come down to Redbourn. But we're probably desperate need of some bowlers as well. So if you're a bowler, it does move a bit early. But yeah, no, we're always welcoming new players, and it would be great to see some new faces down if we can get winter nets on, or potentially kind of next spring.
Hey, perfect. Batsman, bowler, wicketkeeper, or fielder, whatever is your place, or if you just want to learn a little bit more about the awesome culture at Redbourn, do check them out online, across social media. And let's not forget, over 300 teams were involved in the National Villages competition at the start of the season. There could only be two at the final. One of those was Redbourn. And from Redbourn, we've been honoured to enjoy the company of Will Hales. I thank you again, and I salute you, and I want to send a massive amount of respect, admiration, and appreciation for the enjoyment that Redbourn have provided us all here on Verum Sports and across social media, enjoying the game last week. And my goodness me, it was a game befitting the occasion. So thanks again, Will.
Perfect. Thanks, Tony.